restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And now I pray, Lord, that you meet with us here today. Pour your spirit out upon this meeting, this service. Lord, your words, I pray, will go forth with power, conviction, Lord. And you know every need of every heart that's here, Lord. And we're going to look to you this morning and trust you for what will take place today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Crowded Out. And I'll explain that in just a minute, what that means. Of course, Jesus here is passing through Jericho. He was on his way to Jerusalem. Jericho's not too far away from there. And it was going to be the last time he would pass by this place. And then up to Jericho, things would take place while we call Palm Sunday, as the crowd laid palms down along his path, called him Hosanna in the highest, and flocked down to see Jesus. Of course, we see a man named Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus, and so much so that he ran and he climbed up in a sycamore tree. And Jesus stopped right there in that very place and looked up in that tree, and he called him out. He called him by name. He said, Zacchaeus. He knew his name. The deity of Christ certainly seen there. The fact that, I don't believe this man had ever had a conversation with Jesus in his life. I don't think Jesus knew anything in a human way about this man. But I just know that when there was a faith there or a desire to see Christ, to really see him, to find out what he could do for him. And Jesus knew that. He knew that faith that Zacchaeus had. And he stopped right there, looked up, and he called him out, and he called him by name. And, you know, we sang a song here several weeks back, He Knows My Name, and he knows every single name of every single person here. He knows every single name of every single person in the world. He knows your heart. He knows if you have a desire for him. He knows if you don't. He knows there's nothing hidden from him because he's God in the flesh. And Jesus said, I want to come to your house today. Zacchaeus received him into his house. We know that Zacchaeus' life was transformed by the fact that he said, I'm going to give back all the people I ripped off. I'm going to give them their money back. So we know that he had a transformed life. I'll intertwine that in to the outline this morning. But I want you to see that there was a large crowd that came. There was a crowd that came to see Jesus, and everybody had a different motive. Everybody had a different reason, no doubt. Everybody was thinking about, had different thoughts, different needs, or even thoughts about what they thought about Jesus himself. And then later when he got to Jerusalem, there was another crowd. And this is really what I wanted to talk to you about today. A lot, when you start thinking about and looking at the life of Jesus 3.5 years on earth, there were many times that there were crowds, great crowds of people that came and flocked around there. And as I said, everybody had a different motive, a different reason for being there. And that's why the title came about, that by now Jesus was crowded out, pun intended. He just had about enough of the crowds, because he's not really looking for crowds. He's looking for commitment. It's okay to have a crowd. Don't get me wrong. And they were there. They all saw the same things. They all heard the same things. They all came to, a lot of people came to different conclusions about that. But Jesus is looking for a commitment to him, not necessarily, because crowds don't always mean conversions. And so, Jesus knows that if you have saving faith or have a desire to have saving faith or not, if you're really interested in him or not, he knows those things, and we'll see that as we look through the outline this morning. The first point I wanted to make, we'll see a committed crowd. And the reason I say that, there's not always a crowd in groups of of people. There wasn't always great crowds that really committed to Jesus, but over the course of time, an individual here, a few people there, and overall, there is a committed crowd of followers of Jesus Christ then and even today, but maybe not in every crowd. But you know, I looked in verse 3, I was noticing this, and as the song was going, and I saw this in something I didn't even see before. It says in verse 3, it said, he sought to see Jesus. And I showed this to Sherry. I said, look at those next three words. It said who he was. He sought to see who he was. The first thing about seeking, that carries connotation of effort. You know, it means commitment to a cause. You know, he wasn't a casual bystander, in other words, but he really wanted to know Jesus, or he sought to see Jesus. But those next three words are key. It says who he was. See, a lot of people just wanted to see Jesus to see what he was going to do. You know, they wanted to see another horse and pony show, or maybe even, and no disrespect to what Jesus did a lot of times, they wanted to see some sort of a miracle. They wanted to see some sort of action. You know, I mean, listen, we can do a lot of things and get a crowd of people. I mean, man, I mean, we can put on a circus act. We can get smoke and mirrors and light show, and we can do a lot of things to get a crowd of people. But it doesn't mean that you're going to, it's going to be a saving experience in your life. And you know, there's a lot of people that kind of just want to see what's going on about Jesus, but they don't have a desire to find out who Jesus really is. See, you can be here today, and I don't know everybody's heart here. We got folks from out of town, we got visitors, and a lot of people here I don't know, and I don't even know the hearts really of the people that I see every week. I really don't know your heart, but I know this, that Jesus knows that if you're seeking him to find out who he really is, who he is, what he is. I mean, he knows that. Not everybody sought him for that. They just wanted to see something going on down there on this way that Jesus would pass. But I like old Zacchaeus because of this point right here, that he didn't let the crowd keep him from getting to Jesus. You know, when you think about this, you know what? And the way this applies to us a lot of times today, there's people out there that might have a little curiosity, a little interest, and they might want to find out something about Jesus. But boy, try talking to them in a crowd of people. Man, they don't want to have nothing to do with you because, the crowd a lot of times is what deters us. We're so swayed by what everybody else thinks. You know, as men, we say, well, I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do. I'm not going to let anybody else, what they think doesn't matter to me. I'm my own man. Yeah, that is until it comes to having something to do with God or something to do with Jesus. And then all of a sudden, you know, we worry about what everybody else thinks. Let me ask you this. Who or what is crowding Jesus out of your life? Who or what is crowding Jesus out? When you think about old Zacchaeus, listen, he was a man of position. Now, he was a publican. That means he was a tax collector. Crying out loud, I got to go to the tax office Tuesday. Lord knows, you know how we think about the tax office, right? But, you know, we got to have taxes or we wouldn't have the nice country we live in. And I understand it. I've lived overseas and I'm glad to be back. But, he was hated. Now, tax collectors in those days were given a license by the Roman government to go collect taxes. And everything above what they were supposed to collect, I think the tax office is operating the same way today. Everything above what they were supposed to collect, they got to keep it. So in other words, he was a thief. He had ripped people off. So everybody hated him. But he did have a position. He was a man of position, and he was rich. He had wealth. You know, a lot of times people that have finances, it keeps them, it crowds them out from coming to Jesus because they don't have time. They don't have time for Jesus. Or, and then with all the money that they got bass boats and campers and golf clubs and, vacation time and condominiums and timeshares. And man alive, they can't worship Jesus because they got to burn up everything. Their richness has crowded Jesus out of their life. And, you know, it's a little comical picture. It said in there that Zacchaeus was short. He was a short person. And, so he couldn't see. And it says that he ran ahead. He ran ahead of the crowd. You could preach all day on that, getting ahead of the crowd. He ran ahead of the crowd and he climbed up in a tree. Now, I don't know about you, but I try to picture how everything is in the Bible. I see it in a video illustration in my mind. And that's a comical picture. Little old short guy, big crowd of people down there. I can see him running down the back of them, you know. He's running down the back because he can't see. And he's got waddling along them little short legs. And he gets around the other end. He climbs a tree. It almost is a picture of a child. It's almost a picture of a child. But you know what the Bible says? It says in Luke 18:17, says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." Man, he had a childlike faith, and or I like this word right here, enthusiasm. He had a childlike enthusiasm about coming to Christ. You get these little kids a lot of times when we go to the other side. We got junior church for the real small kids. And you'll say, you know, here the adults come dragging in. And then the little kids, it's junior church time, you know, and they'll be down here. And they get up and, man, here they go. They go running over here. Man, they're ready to go to their class. And when they get out of the car, the parents are coming in. Like, and the kids are running out ahead of them. They run in the door right there because they're so excited, man. They want to get down there. And, you know, if they got something from church, they want to show it to you. Enthusiasm about getting to Jesus. Man, this guy was excited. I think we could use a little bit of that. How about everybody, let's go out in the parking lot and then we'll start over again. Let's everybody run in. Huh? You want to do that? You don't want to do that, do you? I don't blame you. Maybe you can't run. The older we get, we can't do it. But listen, this is what Jesus is looking for, whether it's a physical, and he's not looking so much for the physical on the outside. He's looking for childlike faith and enthusiasm on the inside. Man, listen, if you want to, I said a few weeks ago, if you really want to get to Jesus to find out who he is, listen, he will meet you, greet you, he will get to you, he will speak to your heart if you really want to know. A lot of people don't want to know because they're afraid of what he's going to say or what they're going to find out about themselves that they already know. And so we see that he sought. Not only sought to see Jesus, but it says who he was. Sought to see who he was. So we had a committed crowd, and then we see a communing crowd. A communing crowd. You know, Jesus stopped and he called out Zacchaeus by name. And look what he says. He says, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Today. Jesus didn't say, "Listen, I can do it tomorrow. I can do it when it's more convenient for you. I can wait till," I don't know if Zacchaeus was married, but I know how wives operate. If you're bringing somebody over, they have a heart attack if you don't tell them like 2 weeks ahead of time so they can get everything ready at the house. Amen? Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't know what, you know, but I don't know. He said today, right now. Listen, because you know what? Tomorrow was going to be too late. Tomorrow was going to be too late because he was going to be arrested. He was going to be tried and crucified and buried and put in the ground. It was going to be too late for him to commune with Jesus other than that day. Listen, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Amen. See, sometimes people find out a little bit about something about Jesus. Maybe they come to church and they think, well, you know, that sounds interesting. I want to do a little more investigating. I want to find out just a little bit more about it. I'll think about it maybe tomorrow. I've had people tell me, "Preacher, when I get done doing 999 things, I'm going to come to that church down there. I'm going to come down to that church and find out something about it." Listen, you'll never get done with the 999 things, and it might be too late. Because, you know, you don't know that you got another day, and you don't know that the Lord's not coming back in our day today. Listen, tomorrow may be too late. If God's dealing with your heart, today's the day. He may never deal with you again. He may never. If Zacchaeus had made excuses and put him off, it would have been too late. He said, "Today is the day that he must come to his house," and that was the day of salvation for Zacchaeus. And the Bible says that he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Man, he was excited about it. Now I want you to see he received him into his home, and this is that's an actuality. But I want you to see where this receiving takes place in a person's life when salvation becomes real. The home is kind of the center of things. They say that who you are at home is who you really are. You know, you're going to be, you know, we're comfortable at home, right? You know, you ought to see how I look when I'm working on these outlines and stuff. Pretty scary. Hadn't shaved, hair's all messed up, got sweatpants on, my t-shirt, probably slept in it all night long. You know, it looks, that's who, you know. But you're at home, right? But it's the center. Our homes, in a sense, are the center of our lives. You leave home, you go to work. But when you're at work, what do you want to do? You want to go home. You want to come. That's the center of our lives. And this is what Jesus, this is an application here at least, where when we receive Jesus, what he's saying is, and this is what he wanted Zacchaeus to do, and this is what he wants you to do. He said, I want you to receive me, Jesus did. You got to receive Jesus into your home, your center, your very being, your person, what you are. This is what salvation is. It's not just in the act of coming to an altar and making a prayer and doing, you know, it is when Jesus Christ is an everyday part of your life. I'm telling people, listen, if you may have professed that you're saved, but if you're not in the Word of God every day and you're not having a conversation with God through His Word, through prayer, you have no relationship with Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. You've got to be talking to somebody, communing with somebody to have a relationship. And that's what, so Zacchaeus received him into his house. It was a part of his life, the main part, not just a Sunday morning thing. And, you know, we're going to be doing communion after this part of the service this morning. And, you know, it's a picture of the death of Jesus Christ. He was crushed for our sins, the cross, the breaking of the bread. He spilt His blood. He shed His blood for the remission of our sins, the wine part of it and all that. But it's also this, we take that into our life. You know what happens? You know, there's a scientific way all this works, but when you eat food, it's broken down into energy, and it's what, and without it you die. And it's a picture of taking Jesus Christ into your very life and into your very being. That's what we do. You know, that's what that is a picture of. And that's the way it's supposed to be with people that have trusted Christ. You've taken them into your very life. He is your life force. You have no spiritual life apart from Christ. You might be living, you might be breathing, your heart might be beating, but you don't have a spiritual life apart from Jesus Christ. And so that's what a communion, that's why we call that a communion service, because we commune with Jesus Christ in us and us in Him. That's really what salvation is. And then we see there's a confused crowd. You know, I thought about this in lots of times, and there's several places in the Bible. Did you ever wonder why Jesus only stopped? And I don't know, it says a crowd of people that Zacchaeus couldn't even get to see Jesus because of the crowd, which that tells me it's a pretty good crowd. If you've ever went to the parade, you try to go to a parade, you want to get down there early, get on the edge of the road, you know, and if you don't, like big parades in big cities, you're 5-6 people back. You can't really see anything. Everybody's in the way. So, you know, there was a lot of people there. And out of all those people, the only thing that we have record of in the Bible is that Jesus stopped to this one guy and he said, Zacchaeus, today I need to come to your house today. Paraphrasing it. And why just that one guy? Why? Well, you ever wonder why there was just one? Well, He knows everybody's heart. See, He knows everybody's heart. And all the rest, it says in verse 7, it said all the rest murmured against Jesus when they saw that He was gone to be the guest of a sinner. They had come down to see Jesus, but now they're murmuring against Him. They're complaining. So where were their hearts at? Their hearts weren't there to see what Jesus could do. It said, oh, they're murmuring against Jesus because He went to be the guest of a sinner. Guess what? If He'd have went to their house, He'd have still been a guest of a sinner, because everybody's a sinner. Everybody's born sinners, but they didn't see that. They couldn't see it. And so they complained about that. And they weren't interested. They just wanted to see the show. And as I said a few minutes ago, churches are full of people that just want to see the show, or just kind of entertainment, don't see themselves as sinners in need. Listen, we're here today, listen, to worship God, sure enough. But you got to worship God, you have to be saved. You really can't worship God until you're saved. And listen, if for any other reason, if you're here, you know, even as saved people, listen, we've got weaknesses, we got failures, we got things we got to get right with God, we've got to confess, and we got to talk to God about it for our fellowship to be broken. But you know, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? You know, what's your need? You got a need. If you're lost, you got a need of salvation. If you're lost, your sins have not been forgiven, you've got a need to ask Christ to forgive you of your sins so that you can have eternal life. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, just a little bit after this, this crowd came down And they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. And they were all down there and they laid palm branches down in the road. But you know, a week later they were yelling, crucify him, that same crowd. There's some confusion here. See, they knew the right things to say as he came through and they thought they knew who he was. They were playing the religious game. Let's say it. Let's say Hosanna. We're going to shout Hosanna. Boy, we're all out there. It's the mob effect. You can get a lot of people to do a lot of stupid things in a mob. Riots are evidence of that. But, they play the game. And there's a lot of people, listen, they'll come to church and everybody stands when they're supposed to and everybody sits when they're supposed to. And everybody will sing the songs that they're supposed to sing. And they know to say, amen, amen, preacher. And they know to say, every now and then that'd be okay. They know to say, amen. And they know to say, oh, brother so-and-so. And they know how to carry the Bible. And they know how to say Jesus. And they know how to sing the hymns right there. But a week later, this crowd was yelling, crucify him. Why? Because they didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They weren't saved. They were lost. And that's the way it is in churches. There's crowds, but Jesus doesn't always commit to them. In John 2, 23 through 24, it says this. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, listen to this word, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. See, you ask people, well, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, brother, I believe. I believe. It said there, they believe. When they saw the miracle, see, because that word believe is a big, big word. It believes. Listen, I believe there was a George Washington. I told the Sunday school class, I believe there was a George Washington, but I'm not trusting him for anything. He's dead and gone. You can say, well, I believe there was a Jesus, but are you trusting him for something? That's a different thing. Believe means where you really believe and trust and put your faith and you've asked him into your life and you believe that he'll forgive you of your sins. You believe that he'll give you eternal life. You believe that he'll give you the Holy Spirit. You know, that's a different belief where I'm trusting. I can believe this chair right here will hold me till I'm blue in the face, but I'm not exercising no faith in it until I sit in it. You know what I'm saying? You can believe that Jesus Christ will save you all you want, but you're not exercising faith until you ask him and for forgiveness and have him come into your life. So it's different. So just saying, well, I believe till you blue in the face. If you're not really living like you believe, then you don't believe. He said, many believe, but he said he didn't commit himself unto them. See, that's it, right? That's the key. Are you committed or are you crowded out? I wrote a little song, you know the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Everybody knows that, right? Listen, the question of whether he loves me is not up in the air. Huh? Here it is right here. He died on the cross, shed his blood, I know he loves me, that's not what's in doubt. I wrote another little song. I love Jesus, this he knows, for my actions tell him so. A poor lost sinner I used to be, but now his blood has set me free. Amen. Yes, I love Jesus. Yeah. I better hope this preaching thing works out because I'm not going to make a living singing. Amen. Huh? Him loving me is not in question. It's do you love him? That's the question right there. That's the whole deal right there. And so he knows. In Matthew chapter 7, listen, there's another. This is one of the most profound verses, a couple of verses in all the Bible. Listen carefully. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, this is people in church, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, there's a crowd, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's a work. And in thy name cast out devils? That's a work. And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What do you mean, man? They said the right things. They said, Lord, Lord. They even did some things in Jesus' name. See, they're the people that are on the committees. They call him Lord and they're on all the committees and they sing in the choirs. And this group here prophesied and cast out devils and done many wonderful works. But they had never been transformed on the inside. See, you can get the outside straight. Anybody can do that. It's only Jesus Christ can straighten the inside out. He got the inside straightened out. Huh? They hadn't done it. He said, he didn't say, I used to know you, now I don't. He said, I never know you. I never knew you. It wasn't a lost salvation. It was a salvation they never had to start with. And it's the reason, listen, how does this happen? How does something like that happen? They deceive themselves. They deceive themselves. See, old Zacchaeus, some people say, well, look at Zacchaeus. He said he paid everybody back that he ripped off. He paid back fourfold all that money. And then Jesus, today, salvation's coming to your house. No, he paid everybody back. That was the evidence that salvation had already come to the house. Jesus was saying, there's the proof right there. It's a different way. He wasn't earning his salvation. It was just a proof that he was saved. He slipped it all around right there. And the reason that we see a powerless church in the world today is because the church is full of that crowd right there in Matthew chapter 7. They're doing the things. Huh? They're teaching the Sunday school classes. They're singing in the choirs. They're going out on visitation. They're doing all the right things. They're sending money to missions and they're sending barrels to missions. They're doing all those things. But you know what? We got no power in the world. Huh? There's no power with God. That's the whole problem right there. There was a crowd around Jesus one day. A whole bunch of people. And the Bible talks about it. It said there was a big crowd and they were pushing and shoving and everybody was just jostling around. But just one woman touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples even said, they said, "Master, how in the world are we going to figure out who touched you? Look at all these people. Everybody's been touching you." He said, "Yeah, but somebody touched me and my virtue's gone out." See, it was a touch of faith. Out of all that crowd of people, one person that really had faith. She had some kind of infirmity where she'd been bleeding for years, like 12 years, I think. She'd been bleeding for years. But she really wanted to be healed, man. And she reached out in faith and she touched Jesus. And Jesus knew it. He knew it. Out of all them people that touched him, what about the other people that touched him? They didn't touch him in faith. They didn't touch him. See, there was a crowd. It was a crowd of people there. Listen, it's a lot of confused crowds out there today, confused about salvation like it's just one-time act. Listen, salvation is a lifetime commitment, a living daily relationship. It's when Jesus crowds out everything else in life. And then we see the last one is a converted crowd. You know, Jesus may not convert everybody in a crowd, as I said, but there is a crowd that has been converted. And we see Zacchaeus' life, it was transformed. He was willing to pay those people that he had stolen from. He wanted people to know publicly that he was a changed man. He wanted people to know that Jesus made a difference in his life. He didn't let public opinion crowd Jesus out. And he didn't let his wealth crowd Jesus out. He didn't let pride crowd Jesus out. He just sought the Lord. He said he received him joyfully into his life and into his home. That's it. That's salvation. Seeing who Jesus is, finding out who he is, seeking him, who he was, finding out that he's the Savior of the world, that he died, shed his blood for you and your sins, and saying, man, that's something I want. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. How are you going to have a relationship with anybody? You see somebody and you say, man, there's somebody I'd like to get to know them better. How are you going to get to know them better? You got to go spend time with them. Get in the Word of God. Boy, and you spend time and you have a relationship. Man, he saw it, he found it, received. What about you? I don't want to know if you came forward at a church and got baptized. I want to know, do you have a living, daily relationship with Jesus Christ? That's salvation. That's the real deal. Nothing else matters. No ceremony, no act, no baptism, no church attendance, no good works, nothing. It's not the same thing. That group is in Matthew 7 that he said he didn't know. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. Now, being saved will result in a lot of those same things. But it's because they didn't have a daily, living, personal relationship with Jesus Christ that's constantly growing the more they found out about it. Do you have that in your life today? You can, if you want it. Huh? He said, Zacchaeus, come down. He said, today, I must abide at thy house. Jesus Christ, he knows your name. He's calling your name. If he's calling your name, he wants to abide at your house today. Let's all stand. We'll have a moment.